This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, The Good News of Great Hope, Pastor Scott answers three questions. Who is Jesus? Why did he come? And why do we celebrate Christmas? This message was delivered on Sunday, December 17, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, New Hope. What a great way to start off this morning. Yeah, and you know, that's the good news, that Jesus came. Could you imagine, but those they were like waiting to hear from the Lord. It was silent for 400 years, and they were waiting for this moment, and finally to be the one living in that time to have this happen. You know, back at the ending of October, my youngest daughter, Brittany, she was waiting for some mail because she has just taken her test for her nail technician for her license. And she was waiting and waiting, and she said, Dad, if you find this mail, let me know. And listening to her friend, she said, if it comes in a big envelope, you probably failed. If it comes in a small envelope, you probably pass. So one day I checked the mail, and before going to my office, I checked the mail, and there was this little regular envelope inside. It was addressed to Brittany. So, you know, with technology, I took a picture and I sent it to her via text message. It's like, man, I can actually do something with my phone other than talk. John, you would have been proud of me. So, and then she didn't respond, so I figured she was busy. And then I was running errands in town, and then she texted me, Dad, you gotta open it now. So I texted her back, I am not opening this. This is your mail. That's a federal offense. I'm a law-abiding citizen most of the time. So she said, no, Dad, you gotta open it now. I said, no, this is your mail. Finally, she calls me. You know, when your children call you on the phone, actually call you to talk, you know it's important. Because most of the time, they'll just send you a text, right? Dad, you gotta open it now. I cannot take it. You gotta open it. So, sorry, this is your mail. I am not opening it. Me. And please. No. You know what? Just hang on. I'll just bring it to you later on. So, I finished my errand, I drove down to her shop, and I gave her her mail. And she opened it in front of me, and I'm like, you know, as a dad, right, you cannot, to see your children disappointed, it's just heartbreaking, right? So she opens her mail, she starts reading it, she's crying, but these are tears of joy, because she passed, and I was so happy. I was the person to bring her this good news. And you know what my reward was? I got a pedicure. How's that? And then I realized, you know when your kids grow up and they don't want to spend time with you? Now I know how to spend time with her. I got to go down there and get a pedicure. It was pretty cool though. She scrubbed my, it's like she was Jesus. She washed my feet, man. She washed my feet. And not only she washed my feet, she clipped my toenails. I mean, she went above and beyond what Jesus did. And for you guys, it's not a bad thing getting a pedicure, you know. Maybe if you do one with you and your wife, that might be a good thing. But if scrape all the dead skin off your feet. Right? So it's not getting a pedicure doesn't make you any less of a man. Okay, just like wearing pink or red. In Luke 2:10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. You ever wonder why the angels always say that when they appear to humans? Do not be afraid. I think the angels must have been kind of spooky looking. Right? Do not be afraid. Because I guess if an angel appeared in front of you, you kind of like, whoa, you kind of like, but said, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For all the people. I mean, this was like the greatest event in history. And one day when we get to heaven, we're going to ask God, why did you appear to like shepherds in the field, first of all? I mean, could you, maybe because shepherds lead the flock. So I don't know, maybe that's why. But the Messiah had been born. And for the ages of the Jews, they had been waiting for this. And when it finally occurred, the announcement came to some humble shepherds watching the sheep in the field. Good news about Jesus, that he came for all, everyone, the shepherds, and just everyone you could imagine. Jesus comes to anyone with a heart humble enough to accept him. Whoever you are, whatever you do, you can have Jesus in your life. Don't think that we need like super duper qualifications or we need to have our life in a certain order. He accepts anyone just as you are, even if you're 5 feet three. You know, and you know, before the angels appeared to the shepherds, some months before, he appeared to Mary, and he said, and this is what it says in Luke 1:29, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean, you know, because the angel was talking to her. And the angel said, again, don't be afraid, Mary, or the local would say, Mary. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Imagine an angel coming to you and say, wow, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Could you imagine the confusion? It's like, wow, how can that be? How can I have a child? I haven't been with the man. So she must have been like, imagine that happening. She's like, wow. So then, who, number one, who is Jesus? If you're like a lot of people, you've heard the name of Jesus. You may think of him as a religious leader or perhaps a really, really good man who lived thousands of years ago. But have you ever wondered if he could possibly make a difference in your life? Think about it. Jesus, the name. Jesus, the person. Jesus, who the Bible calls the Son of God. Can he actually possibly make a difference in my life? Can he really? I bet you, if you're not sure, I'm going to tell you he can. In Isaiah 7:14, and this was written long before Jesus was born. All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Colossians 1:15-19. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, the supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. So who is Christ? He is God's Son. More than that, He is God's Son. He is our Savior. He, basically, He is like our everything. He is the Son of God. He is human. He is God. He came to save our lives. So why did He come? Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom. You might want to underline that. For us who were slaves to the law, so that we could adopt us, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. How's that, being adopted by God to His family? I think that's cool. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice because although He was fully human and fully God, He never sinned. His death on the cross brought freedom to us who were enslaved to sin so that we could be adopted into God's family. Why did He come? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. How many of you was lost? How many of you have been found? Yeah. First Timothy. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. And Paul was writing this to young Timothy. He tells us He came to save sinners. And, you know, there's so many more out there. I mean, we are sinners, but we're saved. But there's so many out there who are sinners but not yet saved. And it's for us to go and reach them and share this good news of great joy that there is a way back to God through Jesus Christ. It is good news. 1 John 3:5, and you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in Him. Man, when He died on that cross, He took all of our sins, past, present, future, because we know that the wages of sin is death, right? And because of that, we were all doomed to die. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, we no longer have to die. Physically, yes. But spiritually, no. John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So why did He come? To free us from sin and give us eternal life. That's a lot to write, yeah? You make you guys do some work. He came to free us from sin. He came because He loves us so much that He didn't want us to die in our sin. He came to free us from sin and to give us eternal life. How cool is that? No matter what we may be suffering from, understand it's temporary. And if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then, man, that's your ticket to heaven. And Jesus came for that very purpose. To save you, to take away the sin of the world. He came for you. And not only for you, He came for your neighbor, He came for your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your coworker that you don't like, the guy who cuts in line in front of you, right? He came for all of them. He did. His love is so great that He does not want to see any of us perish, but He wants all of us to to come into a relationship with Him so that we have eternal life. Amen? So why do we celebrate Christmas? Because I hear so many people say, oh, I don't celebrate Christmas because of this, because of that. Luke 2, 8 to 11. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. Maybe that's why they're afraid. But the angel reassured them, "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." I mean, if there was like silence for 400 years from God, and all of a sudden, bang, you were the generation to hear the good news of the birth of the Messiah, the Savior, the one who they've been waiting for 400 years to hear from. If you were that person, wouldn't you like hallelujah? Wouldn't you celebrate through a party? Matthew 1, 21 to 23. "She will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord to the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated "God with us." Jesus means the Lord saves. Jesus came to earth to save us because, really? We can't save ourselves from sin and its consequences, which is death. No matter how good you may be, we can't eliminate the sinful nature present in all of us. Only Jesus can help us with that. He didn't come to help people save themselves. He came to be their Savior from the power of and the penalty of sin. With all that good news, with Christmas coming, and, you know, people like to associate Christmas with giving gifts, and we all probably give or exchange gifts. But the reason he came to give us life, to give us this precious gift of eternal life, I mean, I would imagine that all of you here said yes to Jesus at one time or another. But isn't that like the best gift in the world, knowing that you don't have to fear dying physically here on the earth because you know that there's a better place that you're going to go to, a place where the Bible describes there's no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, you know, no more when you get up in the morning, oh, my back, oh, my legs, because now I sit down for 20 minutes and it's an issue getting up, right? And you think, I'm 54, and I'm hoping I got some more years left in this body, but at 54 and I'm aching and paining, and you know, sometimes I like get up in the morning and when I don't want to move, it's like, oh man, heaven is looking really good, because no more pain. You know, when you catch a cold and you cough and you hack and you miserable. Man, heaven is looking better and better as we get older and older, right? I mean, any of you over 60, you think like, oh, heaven is looking really good. But the young ones is like, no, I got plenty more things to do here. And me too, I got plenty more lives to save. I cannot go now. That's why when I go fishing, I can stand right there on the edge of the cliff and like, God still got me work for me to do, and he can't take me now. Kind of like pushing the issue, but yet I haven't gone surfing yet, so that would be pushing the issue, going surfing without learning how to swim. Yeah. But we are to tell people of this good news that will bring great joy. How do we do that if we don't celebrate the season? Right? If we're like, oh, yeah, bah, humbug, I don't like celebrate Christmas. And then people will look at you like, okay, you call yourself a Christian, but yet you don't celebrate. Isn't this like supposed to be like a joyous time? Yes, it is. Amen? Amen. So that's you know, we celebrate. We throw parties. And people ask us, why? Why do you do that? Because of this good news, this great joy. And people will give you reasons. They'll give you Bible scriptures as to why we shouldn't celebrate Christmas. But I think the celebration of Christmas really depends on how we celebrate and the attitude of our heart. You know, if we're going to celebrate Christmas just because I get new tools to play with, right? Or a new watch or new clothes. And if I make that the focus of my celebration, then I think, yeah, it's kind of off. But if I make my focus on Jesus and I give the glory to God and I thank Him for sending His Son, then I think it's a good thing that we celebrate Christmas. If you celebrate by bringing glory and honor to the birth of Christ and use it to bring others to Him, I think that's the right way to celebrate Christmas. So why do we celebrate Christmas? Here it is, to share the good news. We celebrate Christmas not just to exchange gifts, but to share that gift of Jesus Christ, share that gift of eternal life with those who don't have it, those who are searching. And no matter how many times we give this gift away, it would not diminish. It'll keep on going and going and going. We celebrate to share the good news that Jesus came. He came to give us life and to give us an abundant life. Abundant, overflowing, full of meaning, full of fruit, full of blessings. He came for that reason, to save us. And that's why we celebrate. Amen? Not because of the giving and the receiving of gifts, but because of what Jesus did, what God did by sending His Son. Amen? Amen. You can put away your notes. The worship team can come on up. And if how many of you finish your Christmas shopping? I'm looking at Laurie, not here. Just few. Hey, so I do have some Bibles. If you need a good gift, or if you need one for yourself, it's $38. That's what we paid for them. It's a really good, easy to understand Bible. I'm getting this to you now, so that you can start the new year off right by getting into the Word. And if you need one or you want to get one as a gift, they're up here, so let us know. Because, I mean, the Word of God stands forever. Right? The Bible says the flowers fade, the grass wither, but the Word of our Lord, you know, lasts forever. I mean, the stuff that we read and we learn and we dump into our hearts from the Word of God, we take with us forever. And that's a good thing. Amen? But I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you haven't received that precious gift of Jesus Christ, if you haven't asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that chance now. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. I repent of my sin. And I turn to You. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person You want me to be. I receive You, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Lord, You have seen the hands and the hearts. And what a wonderful gift that they have received. The gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray that You would continue to grow them, strengthen them, help them, guide them to walk with You all the days of their life. And whatever struggles come their way, Lord, give them the strength to overcome and persevere. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keauau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.